I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, comedian Jen Kirkman. She's learned a thing or two about online trolls.
Oh, that's a terrible person who was awful all day, and then they went on the internet at night to continue the terribleosity.
Jen's one of the stars of the TV show Drunk History. The way that show works is, well, you can figure it out.
So, Abraham Lincoln was kind of a good guy, right? He was a good guy.
Plus punk godfather Bob Mould. He was in bands like Husker Du and Sugar. We talk about his earlier stuff.
I was writing songs when I was nine.
What would you write songs about?
About my dog, about my mom, about flowers, about God, about stuff, you know?
It's all on Wits, coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, and Minnesota Public Radio, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. We got a great show. Musician Bob Mould is here. There he is. Comedian Jen Kirkman is with us as well. Our house band John Munson and the Witnesses are with us. And our acting company includes from Riff Tracks and Mystery Science Theater 3000, Mr. Bill Corbett. Warren, hey, it's John. It's John Greenberg.
Of course, John. Hey, yeah. How have you been?
Oh, well, you know, still looking for a job, yeah. Actually. So, you know, I'm here at the party just networking. Kill me now, right?
Yes. Open bar, at least.
Yeah.
Oh, and did you see who's here? Bright red dress?
Oh, my holy F. Is that...
Yes, the founder of BuzzFeed, Karen BuzzFeed. Right.
BuzzFeed. It's funny. I kind of hate her, but I can't resist her. It's weird. Let's go say hi.
Okay. Excuse me, Karen? Hi, I'm Warren. This is John.
Hi, hello. Nice to meet you. Here are four things you only understand if you're at this party. That lamp over there. Too much cheese on the table. This curtain. So many ladies wearing gold shoes.
What?
Wow. She is great and terrible. So Karen, you having a good time?
I know 18 cats who are more excited about this party than me.
So you don't like it?
I didn't say that. I could show you 50 dogs who are less excited about it than me.
Oh, well, yeah, I love dogs.
What dog are you?
I'm a person.
Oh, I know about people. All the characters from Downton Abbey are people. Which one are you?
I'm not...
Pick a sweater. Cardigan, pullover, turtleneck, or I never wear sweaters. Sweaters make me hot.
What?
Pick a sweater!
Cardigan.
You're Lady Mary.
Oh, Karen. Karen, I don't want to be pushy, but my friend John here is looking for work.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I know that you've been hiring reporters at BuzzFeed, and I was at the New York Times. Yeah.
The newspaper you are is the New York Times?
No, I worked there. I got laid off, and... whoa, what are you doing?
I like your face, so I'm clicking like on your face.
No.
It's not working.
You're poking me in the face.
Like!
No, enough! I will not do this, Warren. I'm sorry. Everyone in media really wants to work for you, Karen. Respected journalists are begging to write listicles. Not me. I'll find another line of work, thank you. I don't need this.
I do.
Pardon?
You think I want to be this manic attention vortex, a shriek of a human being? I don't. But this is what I need to do to survive. I need you more than you need me. Once you stop loving me, I will die.
Well, Your website will die, you mean, not you.
You think there's a difference. That's sweet. Listen while I tell you about 12 babies so cute they should be in prison. 300 autocorrects that will save Matthew Perry's life. 1 billion pictures of me screaming.
Boy, well, you look at the time. Wow. I really got it.
Look directly at me. Talk to no one else. Oh, God, too late.
Hi, guys. I'm Jeff Upworthy, founder of Upworthy. I want to show you a video of an adorable child confronted by a Komodo dragon, and you won't believe...
What happens next? Oh, Good gravy, I see Tracy YouTube comments coming this way. She's the monster that invented YouTube comments.
This party is stupid, shut up. I'm the wrestler, One Direction rules, One Direction sucks. This is all fake, I'm God, I hate you.
That doesn't even make sense.
No. You listened anyway, I'm Oakland Raiders.
Wait, I'm sorry. I regret what we've all done to society. Here's my list of 45 regrets.
Warren, come on.
Oh, it's okay. I'm staying. I want to hear the 45 regrets.
Number 21 will blow your life and change your mind.
They all sucks. Justin Bieber.
Goodbye, Warren.
I love you, Internet. You're my best friends.
Jen Kirkman as Karen, Bill Corbett as Warren, Bob Mould as Jeff, Janie Winterbauer as Tracy, me as John. She's a stand-up comedian, television writer, and actress. You might have seen her on Chelsea Lately or Drunk History. She's the author of the book, I Can Barely Take Care of Myself, Tales from a Happy Life Without Kids. Jen Kirkman, welcome to Wits.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Whew. Your comedy is so often about your own experiences. So let's orient people. For people who don't know you, who are you?
I'll talk about anything from my upbringing, my childhood, my current hood, being married, being divorced, not having kids, death. I like to talk about death a lot. Of course, that hasn't happened yet, so I don't have a personal experience with it. I do opinions and fears. So I just talk about things I've gone through or things I'm feeling.
Are certain life experiences funny and other ones not ever funny, or does everything have potential?
Everything has potential, not everything is appropriate, is what I think.
Walk me through that. How do you decide?
Well, when I was getting divorced, I was like, man, this is gonna be funny later. I just knew it would be. And I think some of it, you know, I do talk about in my stand-up, but some of it would make me look like a really unsympathetic person, so it might be better for a script or a book or something else, or just talking to someone one-on-one, as you and I are doing, and no one else will hear. But, and then I think with time it can be funny, and then sometimes you're like, this is so funny, but feelings will be hurt, so I better just keep it to myself.
Or just lock it up.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, you often end up kind of making fun of yourself more than other people.
That's what I try to do. I don't think there's anything less funny than a woman getting up there and going, this was his problem. You know, if I go up there and just talk about how I felt getting married and thinking something doesn't feel right, and everybody's saying like, no, you're supposed to have diarrhea on your wedding day. And I'm like, but how much are you supposed to have? You know, that...
It's never in the bridal magazines, is it?
It's never in there. And that's the angle I try to take, because I don't want to indict, whether I'm talking about marriage or my family, I don't want to indict anyone else. It's not about what they did wrong. It's about how I felt experiencing what I think other people could relate to.
Have you always been comfortable kind of living in public like that, or taking your experiences out to the audience?
When I first started doing comedy, I had written some very bad jokes. Like some jokes about Nancy Reagan, but this was 1997, so she hadn't been even in the zeitgeist for a long time. But I've been hanging on to them since I was a kid.
Workshopping them.
Yeah. But I thought I was going to blow the doors down of like social whatever. And then when I got on stage, something told me, don't talk about Nancy Reagan. So I told a story about how I graduated from high school a virgin, but had never told anyone that, and had pretended when I was in college that I wasn't. And because I got this reputation for being so experienced, nobody would de-virginize me because they were too afraid of my moves that I supposedly had. And so I thought that would be funnier than saying my Nancy Reagan joke, which I don't even remember. But so I've always, the first time you get a response from that, you know you're on the right track.
Now, I follow you on Twitter, and on Twitter, you're very funny. You make a lot of great jokes. You talk about some shows you have coming up. And then once in a while, you throw down on
people.
Walk us through those instances. Tell us about those.
Okay, well, I feel like, and not you, because we talked about this, but people will think I'm throwing down. I think it's a very gender-specific thing. Of course, as comedians, we all get things that are like, you're not funny, you suck, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about that. I know I'm not for everyone. I can tell by the size of the places I play. I kind of get it. So what I get specifically are comments that have to do with being a woman and grotesque things about my looks, whether good or bad, what people would do with me, and I'm not talking about take me on a date, saying terrible things about women aren't funny, and just horrible things. So what I usually do is I will block that person and I don't respond to them and get into back and forth, but I will retweet what they say with my comment in front of it, and I do it to show people, look at this kind of ignorance that still exists. And the young women that follow me say they like that, and then usually people will say, well, those are just trolls in their mother's basement, but if you click on their profile, it's like, proud father of two, and you're just like, why are grown-ups on the internet? So I don't believe in trolls as the only people that say terrible things. I think the internet is real life, and you're like, oh, that's a terrible person who was awful all day, and then they went on the internet at night to continue the terribilosity.
So
I will continue to throw down.
So then the philosophy of just ignore them, don't pay them any mind, you're not doing that. You're shining a public light.
Just ignore them is a good philosophy for white men, but for women, we still need to be loud, I think.
I want to talk about Drunk History. This is a show started out on Funny or Die, I believe.
Even before that, just the You and the Tube.
Really, just on the YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. So that started out as a series of videos and is now a Comedy Central show. And this is a show where a comedian, in many cases you, gets really, really drunk and then relates a story about history. And we have part of one of your episodes here. Let's listen to that.
She goes, Douglas, come here. I have something for you. Oh, now my head is shutting asleep. Mary Todd said, I want you to have Abe's walking stick. His favorite walking stick. That was like, thank you much for the walking stick.
My head is falling asleep, I think.
It was shutting asleep.
Head was shutting
asleep. It's a medical term.
Yeah, shutting asleep. So now, as we are listening to this narration, describe what we're seeing on
the
screen.
Well, in that scene, you saw Zooey Deschanel as Abe Lincoln's wife.
Mary Todd Lincoln.
Mary Todd Lincoln, giving a walking stick to Frederick Douglass, played by Don Cheadle. And... basically, I didn't make this part up. I might have gotten some of the details incorrect, but Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln had forged a friendship, and after Abraham Lincoln's passing, Mary Todd gave Frederick Douglass one of his walking sticks as a token of their friendship.
And so Don Cheadle and Zooey Deschanel are not actually speaking in the scene. They are lip-syncing to drunk Jen Kirkman.
Yeah, so you get to see Don Cheadle go, thank you much. It's so exciting for me. It really is like, it's never not a thrill.
There's the guy from Hotel Rwanda.
Yeah.
What's it like to perform one of those? Because they kind of cut between the actors, and in that one, Will Ferrell plays Abe Lincoln. They cut between that and you just listing on the couch. What's it like going through that?
Well, the one of the creators of it, Derek Waters, is an old friend of mine, and we used to just sit on my couch and drink. And he said, you should do this thing I'm thinking of doing, Drunk History, because when you get drunk, and in real life, the way you talk is, and then he said this, and he said that, and you give people dialogue. I think you'd be good at this. So it is just like hanging out with me, but way more drunk than I should be. And basically what you do is you have a story in mind, and you obviously brush up on it. And there are, I keep some notes around me, but they're always like, put the notes away. And I'm like, I gotta get the note. And so they encourage you to think of something that would make a good scene. You know, you don't want to talk about someone editing a book.
And how good are you at taking direction after two bottles of wine,
though? Yeah, not that great. I think because I've done four of them, and the latest one I was telling you is the most produced Comedy Central TV one. The first time we did it, someone just came into my house with a camera, and now they were like, can you move the lights in your face? And I was getting belligerent, going, and it used to be like this with the, I had to watch a camera. So it gets pretty unruly, but Jeremy, the other co-creator, he stays completely sober. And they actually are really good at goading you and then bringing you back, because you tell the story over and over as you get more drunk. And then they'll do things like say, so Abraham Lincoln was kind of a good guy, right? He was a good guy. And then you start kind of doing that. So they're really good, but they know when to tell you to shut up. But I usually just end up on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think in this one, I'm on the floor laughing or something.
That kind of wraps the day of shooting right there.
That wraps it. Or when someone vomits, which I haven't done.
I suppose so. Well, it's a great series. It's great talking to you about all your comedy. Jen Kirkman, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Our musical guest this week rocks harder than just about anyone. He fronted the bands Husker Du and Sugar. His latest solo album is Beauty and Ruin. Please welcome back to St. Paul, Mr. Bob Mould.
Travel over the line, telling me tales filled with riddles and rhymes that I don't recognize. I don't know you anymore. Name and face have been obscured. Change them if you want. I don't know you anymore. Yeah. I don't know you anymore. Name and face have been obscured. Change them if you want.
Bob Mould with John Munson and the Witnesses. Coming up, the songwriting duo of Pharrell Williams and Kafka, and a more realistic Build-A-Bear workshop. Did you know we can be pals on email? It's true. Just go to witsradio.org. You can sign up for our newsletter, get the latest about what we're doing and what our various Wits guests are up to. Or you can tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us. We're at Wits. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with punk rock legend Bob Mould and comedian Jen Kirkman.
Food is yummy, so delicious. Don't ruin it by doing dishes. Handelman's. Fried butter restaurant.
Do you people got mouths?
I got a mouth. But what should I eat with it? Know this about me. I like things that taste good, and I love things that taste great.
Then I know just what you should eat with your mouth that you got.
Me too.
Fried butter.
It wasn't a trick question, but it was a trick answer. I'm Candy Hendelman.
And I'm Cadney Hendelman.
And we are the proprietors of Hendelman's Fried Butter Restaurant.
We only believe in the best fried butter for you to eat by the stick or in pairs of sticks.
We fry home-quality butter in commercial-quality fryers. You can't beat it.
Why even would you want to? What's wrong with you?
We believe in giving you the best quality butter.
And we don't believe man landed on the moon.
Come on, NASA.
Come on.
And you come on down to try our butter.
Try our butter stuffed in a bird and covered in butter and then fried.
We call that the Sky Warrior. Don't eat the bird, just squeeze the bird until the butter extrudes. Or how about our scraped off the walls leftover butter fried again?
That's the handyman special for working on the go. Plus, check out Sad Jimothy, our musician and relative.
They pay me in fried butter.
You can't spell friend without
the
fried.
The letters in fried. Make friends with fried butter from Hendelman's. Take it, Sad Jimothy.
Hendelman's Fried Butter Restaurant.
Once again,
Bob Mould.
Walking around with your head in the clouds. You're so short, but you're walking so tall.
Makes no sense enough.
You're listening in portraits, you're yelling so loud. Makes no sense at all. Walking around with your head in a cloud.
Makes no sense enough.
It makes no difference at all. Yeah, it makes no sense at all. Makes no difference at all. Yeah. I don't know why you wanna tell me when I'm right or when I'm wrong. It's the same thing in your mind. The only time I'm right is when I play along. Play along, yeah, yeah. Walking around with your head in the clouds.
Makes no sense at all.
You sell yourself short, but you're walking so tall.
Makes no sense at all.
This is important, you're yelling so loud.
Makes no sense at all.
Walking around with your head in the clouds.
Makes no sense at all.
It makes no difference at all. Yeah, it makes no sense at all. It makes no difference at all, yeah. You concern yourself with evidence. It's F-I-T-E-C to me. Well, you say you've got the tiger by the tail. I don't see these things that way. Things that way. Whoa! Walking around with your head in the clouds.
Makes no sense at all.
So you're so short, but you're walking so tall. Makes no sense at all. Listen important, yelling so loud.
Makes no sense at all.
Walking around with your head in the clouds makes no sense at all. It makes no difference at all. Whoa. Makes no sense at all. Makes no difference at all. Walking around with your head in the clouds makes no sense at all.
It's Bob Mould with John Munson and The Witnesses. Bob Mould, welcome to Wits.
Good to be here.
I know this much is true.
Yes, it's I Know This Much Is True. We've asked Bob Mould to give this some thought and explain a few things that in his experience have proven to be true. Bob, what's true?
Music is magic.
Fair enough.
And I knew that from the get-go.
Yeah. What did you, from how early of an age?
Well, the first record that I heard was the soundtrack to Around the World in 80 Days. And I don't remember what it sounded like, but I saw that big balloon on the cover, uh-huh. and I thought, this is it. I'm getting in that basket, and I'm going. But, you know, I mean, I you know, as a kid, my toys were like these used 7-inch singles that used to come off the truck stop jukeboxes.
Wow.
And, yeah, that's where I got learned all.
Like old 45s?
That's where, yeah, old 45s. And this was from, like, the mid-late 60s, so... You know, all the Beatles, Beach Boys, Hollies, Birds, The Who, Dave Clark Five, all the Motown stuff, all those weird trucker novelty songs like Leroy Pullen's The Interstate is Coming Through My Outhouse and all those. It's a lot of good stuff.
Wow. And so when did you start playing music?
When I was like 5-6 years old, sometimes my grandmother would take care of me. And she, her job was to care for a woman that had been struck by lightning and was... sort of unable to move a whole lot.
Sure.
What, is that strange?
Funny, you guys.
But in the parlor was a baby grand piano and an AM radio, and I would move the radio over and sit at the piano and sort of pick out the melodies and the bass parts, and so that's where it started. And then I was writing songs when I was 9. I had like one of those like plastic chord organs, and you know, and then
what would you write songs about?
About my dog, about my mom, about flowers, about God, about stuff, you know, just things that are important when you're a kid. And, you know, moved away from music for just a little bit to, you know, got into sports and stuff and then came back and was into heavy metal and then heard the Ramones. And so I like that magic they're doing.
Yeah.
So that was good. Off we go, yeah.
Some good words for living from Bob Mould. Bob Mould, everybody, that's... I know this much is true.
I know this much is true.
Support for Wits comes from Tilda Swinton brand toothpaste. For when you want your teeth to be beautiful, but vaguely unsettling in some way. And from Community Theater. Having an affair? Need a cover? Join Community Theater. And from Hamburglar's new autobiography, Robble. We get additional funding from Heather's Leather Tetherballs, makers of the weatherproof leather tetherball, the pleather tetherball, and the feather tetherball, a tetherball with feathers in leather or pleather. Heather's Leather Tetherballs, making tetherballs altogether better. And now a game we call Husker True or Husker False. Husker Du, without the umlauts, is Danish and Norwegian for Do You Remember? And is the name of a board game from the 50s. Also, I believe, a band. That got us thinking about other things with Scandinavian names. Jen, Bob, I will give you the name of something with a Scandinavian-sounding name, and I'll give you a definition. You tell us if it's Husker True, and I'm telling you about a real thing, or Husker False. It's just some nonsense that we made up. Now, this being Minnesota, I will have to ask those of you in the audience with Scandinavian heritage, keep it to yourselves if you know the answers. Bob, of course, was in the band Husker Du, which might appear to give him an advantage. And yes, he probably has an advantage. Sorry, Jen. All right. You ready to go? Jen, you'll take the first one.
Okay.
Göteborg Landvetter, an airport in Sweden. Is that Husker True or Husker False?
Can you say it one more time?
Göteborg Landvetter.
I think it is, will be Landerveger, makes me think Landa the Veger, Land the plane. I think it's Husker True. Husker True.
It is Husker True. Nice work. Bob Mould. Lurpak, a Danish brand of butter.
I know that that is true.
That is what?
True.
Bob, that is...
It's... I can't. Oh, Husker True.
That is Husker True. You're right, Bob. Jen, over to you. Hallingdalselva, a river in Norway. Is it Husker True?
It sounds like Hagendahl. Selva. Say it again, Hagendahl.
Hallingdalselva.
Hallingdalselva. I'm going down the Hallingdal. Yeah, it sounds real. Husker True.
It is Husker True, Jen Kirkman. Bob, a musical one for you here. Turbengerbel. Turbengerbel. That's it. Turbengerbel, a Norwegian folk dance in 5/4 time.
Turbengerbel. Gerbel.
Say it with me. Turbengerbel. Turbengerbel.
Turbengerbel. It could be, you know, in 5/4, you say.
5/4.
5/4. It's very specific.
Yes, it is.
As opposed to the turban. Okay. Husker Falls.
It is Husker Falls. You were right, Bob Mould. All right. We have a tie score going into the final round here. Jen Kirkman. Oh, boy. I think I've been postponing this because it's a hard pronouncer. Bjorn Lakaruta. Bjorn Lakaruta. A duvet cover and pillowcase set at IKEA.
It sounds like Bjorn, which is sort of made of a material.
Or
a tennis
player.
They put babies in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know tennis, but I believe you.
Okay.
But then I go, I've been to IKEA. I don't remember seeing that.
You haven't seen a Bjorn locker?
No, but then I don't get my linens there. No offense. I'm going to say it's Husker Falls.
It was Husker True.
I knew it.
So, Bob, if you get this one wrong, it's a tie game. If you get it right, you win the game.
Okay.
Gunter Glieben Glottengloben.
Gunter Glieben Glottengloben.
Gunter Glieben Glottengloben. It is an expression of good luck in Denmark.
I did not hear any of that. But I sense that it's Husker True.
It is Husker Falls, Bob.
Oh.
It is in fact the gibberish at the beginning of the Def Leppard song Rock of Ages.
Oh my God, it is! Is that Goblin Gleaming Goblin?
It's a tie score in the game of Husker True or Husker False. More with Bob Mould and comedian Jen Kirkman in just a moment. Want to see Wits live in person? We've got some great shows coming up. Portland, Oregon, we are coming to see you. Wednesday, September 10th, we'll be at the Aladdin Theater with Jim Gaffigan, Reggie Watts, and Tao Nguyen of Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down. And we'll be at the College of St. Ben's in Collegeville, Minnesota on October 3rd with Maria Bamford and Jeremy Messersmith. This is Wits. I'm John Moe.
Thank you.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe. We're going to step away for just a few minutes here to bring you a little something else. I've written this book called Dear Luke, We Need to Talk, Darth. It's a series of pop culture correspondences, kind of like the pop song correspondences we do on the show, but expanded out to movies, TV, books. We just had a launch party for it at a room that was pretty small compared to the Fitzgerald Theater, maybe 100 people there. Some friends from Wits read selections from the book, and Bill Corbett was one of them. You hear him on this week's show. Bill's one of the twisted geniuses behind Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Riff Tracks. We love Bill. And he read this thing that I wrote inspired by the Curious George books, and we just have to share it with you.
The Diary of the Man with the Yellow Hat, Friend of Curious George, October 12th. Now I have a monkey! Imagine me, a humble man, living alone in an apartment in some city somewhere, now the owner of a monkey! Me, a guy who wears the same yellow suit every single day. Me, a guy who wears a tall yellow hat for no reason at all. A hat that doesn't even fit the classification of any other kind of hat. Me, a man without a name. And I got a monkey. The details of how are not important right now. Hooray! I'm sure everything will work out fine.
October 13th.
I'm calling the monkey George. Why not? Are you saying I shouldn't, Diary? What, you want to fight me?
October 20th.
I had thought it would be a big lifestyle change having a monkey. Not so. You see, I have a lot of errands to run every day. I go chart the fluctuations of the price of wood screws at the hardware store, inspect the sidewalk for fresh cracks, write down where in the city a helicopter could land, yell at some plants, and I can't imagine taking my monkey with me everywhere, or barely anywhere I go. Turns out I don't have to. For instance, today I took George out for ice cream at a local ice cream parlor. Then I decided I wanted to leave and go do other stuff for a while. But not with George. I left him there and told him not to cause trouble, because in my mind, that would work. I returned an hour later to find him serving up ice cream to a lot of customers, much to the delight of everyone there, including the owner. The owner told me that there was a difficult period in the middle where George, being a monkey only recently taken from the jungle against his will, just about destroyed the whole establishment. I didn't bother telling the store owner how monkeys fling their own poo. And George is certainly no exception when it comes to that. Whoa! George usually has at least some monkey feces on his hands at any given time.
November 18th.
Starting to think about getting a name for myself. Maurice, Ed, Studebaker Jones, the Clam. But if I got a name, then I would probably need to get legal identification and a job and some responsibilities. No thanks. Not falling into any of those traps or any traps.
December 25th.
George has noticed people spending time with their families at Christmas. He almost seems like he misses the other monkeys back in the jungle. Do monkeys have families? Or emotions, even? Oh, well, doesn't matter. He belongs to me. He's my monkey. My monkey. Wonder what my parents are doing now. I wonder who they were or why they didn't give me a name. I don't really remember much before about 6 months ago. I have a monkey. February 3rd. The Army Recruiting Center wouldn't accept George into the Army. I thought it would teach George some toughness and also how to use a gun. What's worse is they didn't even let me drop him off there for a few hours while I went and gathered 1,000 pine cones. Fascists. I'm gonna burn a flag in some buildings once I get around to it.
Bill Corbett of Riff Tracks and Mystery Science Theater 3000 reading from my book, Dear Luke, We Need to Talk, Darth. My monkey. Okay, back to Wits at the Fitzgerald Theater with Jen Kirkman and Bob Mould. Pop song correspondences. A letter to Pharrell Williams from his collaborator, Franz Kafka. Dear Pharrell, how dare you release our song and omit my contributions?
Might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Should be followed by, but madness gnaws at my soul night and day.
I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space.
And then, oppressive bureaucracies lay me to waste. But what really bothers me is the hook. As you know, I searched in vain for months to find the proper adjective to describe my feelings. I am ennui-stricken. I am bereft of hope as I await the grim fog of nightmares. Too wordy. I am disconsolate? You went with something else. First of all, a room without a roof was my line. It means you're exposed to the cruel punishments of God. You are vulnerable to lightning or the ever-watching eye of the government. So should I clap along, Pharrell? Because that's how I feel all the time. I see you also changed the second verse from how I wanted it to go.
Here comes the news, talking this and that.
I become a hideous insect. How about that?
I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine.
I've been imprisoned for an unknown crime.
Because I'm happy.
This is a lie.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
I'd like to find out.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
I don't know what I want to do anymore. Normally, I just want to consume opium and revel in my squalor. But this song is infectious. Not like my normal infections of melancholy or tuberculosis. I think what I'm feeling is joy, delightful giddiness. I despise it.
Because I'm clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm
clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm
clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Because I'm
clap along.
John Munson and the Witnesses as Pharrell Williams, me as Kafka. Welcome to Build a Bear, you two. Would you like to build a bear?
Yes, please.
Bethany, are you sure you want to do this as your birthday present?
Yes, Dad. Why wouldn't I?
Well, you're 15 today. It seems a little, I don't know, what's the word for you should have outgrown teddy bears years ago?
Dad.
Sir, this is Build-A-Bear. This isn't Build-A-Bear.
I don't want to make a teddy bear, Dad. God. Dad.
Wait, what?
She wants to build a bear, sir. Not some kind of stuffed animal.
Oh, God. What is that? Bethany, run! Run!
Relax, sir, relax. That is one of our patented Berenstain bears. This one's a demo model.
Doy, Dad. Doy. It's like their top-branded thing.
No. I grew up with the Berenstain Bears, and it's pronounced Berenstain. That looks like an abomination, not a member of a lovable, clothes-wearing, tight-knit bear family.
Okay, sir, I'm trying to make you understand this, all right? This, what you see here, is a Berenstain bear in quotation marks. It's not really a bear as much as a conglomeration of fur, sinew, and savagery. The name Berenstain is a portmanteau of bear and Frankenstein.
Oh, it looks like a crime against nature.
Doy again, Dad. You wouldn't believe how much doy. So much doy.
Oh, yeah, sir. Make no mistake, it is a crime against nature, or against God, if you're religious.
Look at all these bear parts. Grizzly, polar, brown, Kodiak. And what you do is you choose which parts you want on which torso.
And then we graft it all together. We tie a tendon to a bone, some surgical staples, a little plastic tubing if needed. Oh, they are monsters, but they are your monsters.
Like Frankenstein?
Exactly. All right, now, what torso would you like, birthday girl?
Pull-up panda. No, okay. So hard to decide. Okay, brown bear mixed with a koala?
Koala's a marsupial, sweetie.
No sweat. We have the loosest definition of bear in town. It's why you can get bits of the bear containers that honey comes in grafted right onto a koala. Hey, Joyce, show them the half grizzly, half gummy bear.
Kill me. Did it just say kill me?
Yeah. Could be. That one tends to say that. You know, each one's unique, but that one, it's cool. That one will catch you some salmon for dinner, and then for dessert, you can eat its arm because gummy bear.
Yeah.
Okay, I picked all my parts.
And I grafted them together. Ta-da!
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, we're quick.
What do you think, Dad?
How much for a dozen?
Oh my gosh, Dad.
For a dozen bears using parts from separate bears and formed into a dozen monster bears?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Dad.
$60 and we throw in an extra.
A baker's dozen Berenstain bears it is then. With my bear army, there's no telling what I might do.
You're making a very good decision.
Monster bear army onward!
Jen Kirkman as Bethany, Bill Corbett as Dad, Bob Mould as all the monster bears, and me as the employee. And now the Wits Lightning Round, short questions, smart answers, or vice versa. Jen Kirkman, if you couldn't be a Jen, would you rather be a Jenny or a Niffer?
Niffer, that was my nickname as a kid.
Well, there you go. Jen, movie you've seen the most times?
Caddyshack.
Bob, should there be more umlauts in rock, fewer umlauts, or are we at optimal umlaut level?
They're coming back.
Jen, best gift you've ever received?
An Oscar Wilde action figure.
Bob, best gift you've ever given?
A house.
Wow.
Wow.
Jen, what's the largest zoo animal you could beat in a fight if it came to that?
A giraffe.
Nice work. Bob, if you couldn't be a Bob, would you rather be a Robbie, Bert, or Robe?
Robbie.
Bob, is it ever okay for lyricists to rhyme girl with world?
Yes.
How about dance and romance?
Sure, why not?
Jen, what human being makes you laugh the hardest?
Morrissey.
Bob, is everything going to be okay?
Tomorrow.
Jen, what are we going to do?
Just chill.
Jen, what do you most admire in others?
Good storytelling.
Bob, what do you most admire in yourself?
Sleeping.
Jen, if you opened a comedy club, what would it be called?
Only, women can only women can perform here.
I can see the neon sign now. Bob, if you opened a rock club, what would you call it?
Toast.
And that's the Wits Lightning Round. Here with more music, Bob Mould.
Thanks, y'all.
20 years ago, saw friends walking by. Stopped him on the street asking how it went, and all he did was cry. I looked him in the face like I couldn't see past his eyes. I asked him what the problem was, so here is your disguise. Said, I'm hard to get in hours, hard to get and used to getting by. Said, I'm hard to get in over it, hard to get and used to getting by. By, no paper on his pocket, no paper on his back. He asked him what the time was, hit the road now, Jack. Went back to see him next week, died of a heart attack, and died of. Moved into a hotel cell. Timeless. Apparently, they just wondered when they thought they're gonna die. What I like to do when they die. Yeah. didn't know it. Harder getting by.
That's Bob Mould with John Munson and the Witnesses. Want more wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a wits show in person. You can also sign up for our newsletter, get the latest about what our various wits pals are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us. We're at wits. Thanks to our guests this week, Jen Kirkman and Bob Mould. Thanks also to our broadcast engineer, Corey Schreppel, our coordinating producer, Hans Buto, our intern, Sam Siegel, and Fitzgerald Theater staff, Tom Campbell, Mike Wongan, Alan Freckman, Aaron Cossio, and Dan Zimmerman. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Wendy Molyneux and Jeff Drake, John Osbold, and Mike Fotis. Our acting company this week included Bill Corbett. We're joined by music director John Munson and the Witnesses, Steve Rome, Joe Savage, Richard Medick, and Janie Winterbauer. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Wits was created by Tony Bull, senior producer Larissa Anderson, and me. I'm John Moe. Bye now.